So yesterday we gave a little bit of the outside background information for our sugya. So let's now begin to take a look inside. The first of the Mamakomos, where once again, there's another Dubra Vakama. It came in really tangentially because it was a statement of Ula and Amr Belaza, which originally had something to do with Dubra Vakama. So comes the Gemara in the first of the Mamakomos, Mavakami Ralph and Ralph, Amul Amr Belaza. Shulya Shiatsta Mitzasa Biyam Risha, Mitzasa Biyam Sheni, Mamalam and Arisha. If a woman has this quasi-miscarriage, and something comes out, a shilya, a sack, according to many opinions, and we are concerned that there is a baby inside, but we have no idea how much of the baby came out. And the halacha tells us that whenever the robe of the baby came out, that's considered to be the day, the halachic day of Leida. So the Rabbi Loza tells us that if you have a shilya, that part of it came out on Sunday, and part of it came out on Monday, so we have to count from the first day. So we treat the Leida as being the first day of Leida. So Amalei Rava, Madai Tech L'chumra. What is your position? The reason why you're treating it as the a Sunday being the Yom HaLeida, that means you're concerned lest Rove, lest the majority of the baby came out on the first day, and therefore you're going to declare her to be Tameya on the first day. So you think you're being such a big machmir, you're being so strict, because once this beginning of the miscarriage happens, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you're going to declare her to be Tameya at 3 o'clock? Is that, that's a big chumra, but chumra de asla de kulahu. But that's inevitably going to lead to a kula down the line, because you're going to be declaring that the leida took place on Sunday, they're going to start to count off the 14 days, because again, it's a suffix zachar, suffix in the cave, so we have to count 14 days. So we're going to count the yemei tumah for 14 days, and then we're going to let her go to the mikvah, and then all blood that comes after that, we're just going to ignore, because you were so convinced that the birth took place on the first day. How do you know? Maybe the birth really took place on the second day. Maybe most of the baby came out on the second day. So you think you're being machmir to declare the later to be the first day. It's a chumah de asla de kula, the kumataras tamarisha. So Elamar Rava, so Rava said, you're right, that lochash chasheshes, that we never meant to say that the first day is the absolute certain day of birth. It just means that we're machmir to say that maybe most of the baby came out on the first day. So therefore, once she starts this miscarriage, she's already Tameya at that point. But memna lo mimnia el l'sheni, but the actual counting of the 14 days cannot begin until the next day, because we have to play both sides of the coin. We have to be machmer that the first day was a leida, and then we have to turn around and be machmer, maybe the second day was a leida. So at the end of the day, no pun intended, but we end up with chumras at all ends, because the bottom line is we don't really know. Since we have a latest asafik, we have no idea whether the rove of the baby came out on day one or came out on day two. So vis-a-vis chumras of the first day that she's tameya, we have to be machmir. Vis-a-vis chumras of the second day that she can't start the 14 days till the second day, we have to be machmir as well.
Yeah, this question and this answer, I mean, in chutz la'aretz, constantly. Because every time we have a yantip, there's a chumr. I mean, there's a suffix. But, is it today? Is it tomorrow? But, so we observe, yeah, it's today.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
That's right. That's exactly. It's the same kind of a model. Right, right, 100%. Right. It's a very, very similar kind of a model. Right. That we have to be machmir in a sense on both ends. Right. So comes tells us in the second of the Mamakom, Moses just spells out for us what we just said. The Kometaris Lamarishon, that was Rav's question, that if you really declare that the first day was the day of birth, that's going to declare to be Tahora starting from the Rishon, Perish, Shesoferis Yedalash and the Kevin be Rishon, that you're going to let her, this is Rabbi's question, how you talking, you're going to let her count the 14 days from the first day, Vadamim Shetir B'tezvav Yu Tahorin, and you're going to declare that day 15, the blood is Tahor, maybe you're a day off. Maybe what you think is day 15 is really actually day 14. So therefore, it's inconceivable, said Rava, to let her literally start the count bein l'kula bein l'chumra from day one. So this is where sugya starts. Up there, this is just pure introduction. Now is where the sugya really begins. V'yim taimer. Tosfos poses a question. V'yim taimer. V'yamai lo yu tahorim. So says Tosfos, wait a second. What is so terrible by saying that we're going to count from the first day, and when day 15 rolls around, according to that count, all subsequent blood will be tahor? What is so terrible? Why, says Tosfos, this is not a suffix. It's what we call a sveik. It's a double doubt. Where's the double doubt? Dilma biyom rishon yatzarosh aruba. Because maybe on the first day, the head or most, whatever the definition of the lady actually is, came out. So maybe day one was the actual day of birth. If that would be true, then day 15 would in fact be tahor. But that's only one suffix. Here's the second suffix. V'afilu lo yatzah. And even if we're wrong, and in reality, most of the baby came out on the second day, Dilma hu zochar. We have no idea this was a female. This may have been a male. If it was a male, then the Yemei Tuma were all of 7 days, and she's up to the 8 already of a Yemei Tohar. Remember we said yesterday that when a woman gives birth to a boy, so the first 7 days she's Tumea, then the next, she goes to the Mikvah, again, all Minatorah, Midarabon, everything plays out a little bit different from Zmanazet, but Minatorah, she goes to the Mikvah after 7 days, and then for the next 33 days, her Dam is Tohar. She's exactly what we said yesterday. She's sitting in what we call Yosheves Al Dam Tohar. So says Tosfos, that is a 50-50 chance that it was a boy. So if you combine together the two Sveikas, Suffolk number one, when it comes to day 15, a woman comes and asks the Shaila, Rabbi, I'm not sure whether I had a miscarriage on day one or on day two. I'm now up to day 15 according to day one's count. So Rabbi, I should become Tahora because I have a Sveik on my hands. Suffolk Echad, maybe I really did give birth on the first day. And even if Timtzalaymer, I gave birth on the second day, so I'm still a day behind in my count, maybe I had a boy, and maybe I'm actually 8 days ahead of my count. Maybe I'm perfectly acceptable, perfectly Torah at this point. So that was Tosa's question. What happened to Sveik Sveika? So we are not going to get to the answer to that question today. We may not get to the answer to that question this week. We want to understand and appreciate what the question was. Well, that's the second half of the suit is going to be where the answer to that question is. But we want to understand the depth of Tosa's. How Tosfos even felt the ability to ask such a question. There's something very, very potentially problematic with Tosfos' formulation of the question, and that's what the Shita B'Kubetzos picks up upon on the third of the Maamar Kamos. The Komentari L'Mirishav. So comes the Shita B'Kubetzos and quotes Tosfos' question. Hikshu B'Tosfos, Lama lo yia yom tesvav tohar b'koch sveik sveika? That was Tosfos' formulation. Why did the Gemara jump and say, it's crazy, it can't be, it's impossible to be Matara from day 15, it's a Suffolk L'chumra. What do you mean, says Tosfos? It's a Sveik Sveika. So again, the Shita also doesn't give the answer yet. Vekosha, says the Shita. Boom, penalty mark is down on the question. Wait, I think the question itself is not such a great question. Why? Vekosha. Kevan shemansu yadala shal tuma, harei becheskas tuma. Says the Shita B'Das Tosfos, wait a second, we're going to throw a curveball into this entire mix. That curveball is what's called Chazaka Meikara. Chazaka Meikara means that when a status quo is established, we follow the status quo until proven otherwise. That's what's called a Chazaka Meikara. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin in the first part tells us that is a din min haTorah. It has a very, very unique source for this din min haTorah. The Gemara learns it out from the parasha of Nigei Batim, a Nege Tzaras on a house. We usually think, Nege Tzaras, when does that ever happen? So the answer is, that never happens. The Gemara says that Lohayv Lohiyah, there never really was a parasha of Nigei Batim. The Gemara says, in Maseches Sanhedrin, so why was it given to us? To Rosh for Kabul Schar. You should learn it. Yeah, the more you learn it, the more reward you get. But will it ever really happen? It'll never really happen. And the Gemara says in the same breath, Bensara Mora never happened, never is going to happen. Your Nidachas never really happened. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to us? Drosh V'Kabul Schar. So there's a fascinating insight from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says that, let's imagine for a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given us those parshas. So we have nothing to do. We finished learning all above a Kam, all above Metzia, all said, headed all of you, we have nothing else to learn. So it's Drosh V'Kabul Schar. We need another blot and a half about Erni Dachas, another two blot about this, couple few Mishnais about Nigei Batim. We need Drosh V'Kabul Schar. I explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to explain to us a very, very important lesson about Talmud Torah. That some people have a misconception that the whole purpose of learning is just I should be a good Jew, know how to do the mitzvahs properly. So I learn a little kitz shachnar, pick up an art scroll, hook a Shabbos, you know, I get it all down pat, I'm good to go. So no, that's not Talmud Torah. That's also important. You have to know how to keep mitzvahs. We're not negating keeping mitzvahs, but that's not the Talmud Torah experience. Talmud Torah means I learn Torah because it's there, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and Torah has to be learned. And as Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, the ultimate, the highest level of Torah L'shma means I'm learning Torah. There's no other agenda. I'm not learning Torah because I have to pass the test, and I'm not learning Torah because I have to know how to be a good Jew. I'm learning Torah because it's there, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. Shabbach HaBarim Naslan HaTorah. So finished. End of discussion. So that says the Chofetz Chaim, the same idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us certain parashas that have no lemaisa to it. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given us those parashas, that we would have mistakenly thought, oh, Torah is just, you know, just to teach us how to observe mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us parashas in the Torah that had nothing to do with mitzvahs. You're never going to pass the Nidach HaShalah. You're never going to see a Ben Sermer. You're never going to have a Negev Batim. And it doesn't matter. Deresh v'kabel schar. So that lesson of Deresh v'kabel schar is megala to us in our entire approach to kol Torah kula. So it's not the gavalik of Deresh v'kabel schar. If we figure that out, then we'll get a tremendous, tremendous schar. We'll learn kol Torah kula. We'll get back to the story. But in the parsha from the Gibbatim, so the Gemara has the following observation. The Torah describes that the Kohen walks into the house. He evaluates the nega. He has to look at the size of the nega. He's got to look at the color of the nega. And he comes to the realization that this nega has to be declared either that it's vale tame or he has to wait, he has to declare that there's a problem here. So when does he make the declaration? So he should not make the declaration when he's standing in the house, because if he does so, so then everything's going to become tame right away. Everything in the bayis amenuga is tame. So the Torah says first you take everything out, and then the coin goes outside. And then he declares whatever he has to declare when he's outside of the house. So he asks the Gemara, how in the world does the Kohen know that nothing has changed in the interim? What, he's Skyping with the house? He walked out of the house, he closed the door, and he says, that nega is tummy. How do you know? Maybe the nega shrunk in the last 10 seconds. Maybe the nega changed colors in the last 10 seconds. How do you know? So the answer is, well, 10 seconds ago it was tummy. So if it was tummy 10 seconds ago, you can assume nothing has changed. And the Gemara says, that is the source for the din d'oraisa that we follow our entire lives, the principle of chazaka meikara. How do you know things generally don't change? Like, Masha, we all follow this. We're going to follow this in a few minutes from now. Everyone's going to put on tefillin very soon. How do you know your tefillin are kosher? Well, you checked them a minute ago if they were kosher. Teretz is, yesterday they were kosher. How do you know they were kosher? Because 5 years ago, the sofer told you your tefillin are kosher. So you're banking on the fact that nothing has changed. If you have some very strange occurrence happens, you drop your tefillin into the ocean or something, so then you have a tremendous reyusa, then you have a big reason to believe the chazak has changed. But if you have no real reason to believe anything's changed, so then you just follow koshtel of chazak, you just follow what the chazak was. So this principle we follow in Kol Torah Kula, that we follow what the status quo, that's a critical factor that we use in paskening shailas, the principle of chazak ha-mekar.
Right.
Nigger Batim itself has no relevance. The case itself is not relevant, but in between the lines, there are a lot of Yisaitis, right? Correct. Ben Sermer also has a lot of Sugis also, right? Shalom Zir Nidachas, you're right. It's a steer to the Shtickle Tire. I remember once the Rashiv and Kermiyavda was once giving a drush about something, and somebody asked him a kashi afterwards on the drush, so he got very, like, taken aback. So he says, Ein Meshivin al drush. He walked away. So comes the Shibbe Gebetz and says that, wait a second, Tosus posed the question that let's be metaher this woman from day 15. Let's declare that all blood on day 15 is okay because of a sveik's faker. Maybe she gave birth, a rove of the baby came out on day 1. And even if rove came out on day 2, maybe it was a zoch in the first place. And Tosus was very, very comfortable in presenting a sveik's faker. In the end of the day, Tosus nixed the sveik's faker on pure technical grounds. But be'ikaron, fundamentally, the sveik's faker was a valid force in halacha. Yes, the Shid Bukabet says, this sveik's faker is coming to change a status. Because we've been assuming for the last 14 days she's Tamea. We know she's Tamea at some point. She had a miscarriage, so there's no question she's Tamea. Is it 7? Is it 14? We don't know. Did it start on day 1? Did it start on day? We don't know. But the status quo was Tamea. So comes the sheet and says, we said Tamea, and now comes day 15, and we want to turn around and say Tahora based on Sveik's Fakers. Says the sheet of Gubat, says, 1 second, a Sveik's Faker against a Chazokah? Chazokah is a very powerful. Chazokah's got Nigi Batim on its side. Chazokah is a very, very strong force in Halacha. How dare you invoke the principle of Sveik Sveika to be matter against the Chazokah? So says the Shid Bukubetzes, V'yeh Shloimah, what do you see from Tosu's question? The Cheskas Tuma B'mokom D'ika Sveik Sveika Eina Klum. So the Shid makes it about face and says, Taka, you're right. Tosu is right. From the fact that Tosu's asked the question, and Tosu's did not give the answer, there's a Chazokah here, and therefore this makes fake is not valid, says the Shita. You see from here, from your side, that if you have a Shaila in Halacha, you have a Chazaka on one side and a Sveik's fake on the other side, you see that a Sveik's fake is all encompassing, is all powerful, and a Sveik's fake can even beat out a Chazaka. So, tucked away in a Sugya and Dafyat Aleph and Aleph and Bava Kama, a Shita because a Rishon, a Shita Mikubat says, within understanding of why Tosfos formulated a question in the first place, we have a tremendous yesod in terms of kach, psach, halacha, Rabbi has a shaila, and he has no idea what to do. So he's trying to figure out all the facts, trying to figure out all the evidence in both directions. So on one side, he's got a sveika pointing. On the other side, he has a chazaka pointing. What do you do? So ayin taisis, b'vakamir aleph, you see from here, that a sveika is valid force in halacha, and it's even more effective, it's more powerful in halacha than a chazaka meikar.
That's a different type of halacha.
There's something wrong here.
Well, let me give you a secret about how wrong this is. Okay? And this is not even about the answer.
No, what bothers me is chazaka, a normal chazaka, is something that is in place until it changes. Here we have something that's in place until time changes it. In other words, built into the chazaka in the first place is a limit. A limit of a week, a limit of 2 weeks, but a limit. Right. So the point is, it's not a chazaka like other chazakas. It's a chazaka.
What you're really saying is, it's what we call in halacha, the official term for that is a chazaka siyul lishtanos.
Yeah.
It's a chazaka that we know is good end. But the case of the nega, this nega may stay forever and ever. We have no idea. So that's a huge question. Is a chazaka siyul lishtanos considered to be a chazaka or not? So there's a toast in Gittin of Beis Manav about this very topic. One of the basic applications of chazaka plays out in terms of Luchas Nida. The very first Mishnah in Masechet Nida speaks about how a woman has a cheskes tara. Let's say we have no idea when the woman started to bleed. We know that she started to bleed at some point, but we have no idea when. So the Gemara seems to say that she has a chazaka that, well, she's been tahor, been tahor, been tahor, been tahor. So that's called the chazaka. The problem is, isn't that a chazaka suyul ishtanos? We know she's going to get a period eventually. So why isn't that called a chazaka suyul ishtanos? So that's not even this page and a half. That's another whole other page and a half. But we're going to work for now with the assumption that this is still a valid chazaka. That it's not so simple that chazaka suyul ishtanos is not a good chazaka. Not so simple at all.
The other difference is that normally with chazaka mikara, you know what the you know exactly what the status was initially. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, we don't know anything. We don't know if it was a boy or a girl.
Okay, very good, excellent.
How can you establish a chazaka very good. If you don't really know what happened?
Very good, excellent, 100%, excellent question. So we don't know what prompted the tumah, but we can say with certainty she was tamea. We know she was tamea, and we know that it was tumas leida. We don't know all the details. All the pratim are a little bit weak on. We don't know exactly when it started. We don't know whether it was a boy or a girl. What you're really asking is that sometimes you have a case of a chazaka where we don't even know anything yet. It means we find out later that we had a problem retroactively. That's what's called the chazaka shlo noda b'shaita. That's a third page. That's a whole other. And we're not going to talk about that. Chazakas are complicated. You can really begin to sense. Chazakas are pretty complicated. So comes the sheet that just made an observation that when you have a clash between a chazaka on the one end and a sveik sveik on the other end, so at least according to Tosa's formulation of the question, sveik sveik carries the day. So we really have two goals in our sugya. We are, in this part of the sugya at least, is number one to see, is this agreed upon by everybody? This idea that when you have a clash between the two, so sveik sveik overcomes the chazaka. And number two, if not everybody agrees to this formulation of the Shibu Kubetzes, what would that issue depend upon? What's the lumdus? What would we say? Putting aside the rayas for a second, conceptually, logically, what would we say about that? So the only way we could form an opinion about that is, if I always tell the Bachur in Yeshiva, you know, I put on the board, I said, I put A and B, and then I put, you know, a sideways carrot, and I put one going this way and one going that way with a question mark. It means, is A greater than B, or is B greater than A? I don't know. That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out. I know Sfeik Sfeik is a great thing, and I know Chazak is a great thing, but I just don't know which is more powerful. How in the world can you make an intelligent decision about whether A is more powerful than B and B is more powerful than A? The only way you can do that is you have to really understand what A is, and you have to really understand what B is. If you really truly understand the mechanics of A, and you really truly understand the mechanics of B, then you have a fighting chance to figure out which is stronger than the other. So we have a lot of work to do. So we have to first ascertain whether other Rishonim buy into this idea or maybe disagree. And then number two, we have to ask ourselves conceptually, which is greater, which is going to lead us down the path? Well, we can't answer that question until we know what a chazaka is, until we know what a sveik is. If we have a good understanding of both of them, then we can try to tackle the question, which is greater than the other. But before we get to the conceptual part, let's just collect some data, try to figure out, what do other Rishonim have to say about this very topic, when you have a clash between a sveik and a chazaka? So part of this sugya begins in the fourth of the Ramakamos with a sugya in Chulun in the second parak of Chesam Abayz. So Itmar. Rav Oma Mechza Mechza Kirov, Rav Kahana Oma Mechza Mechza Eno Kirov. So Rav and Rav Kahana are fighting about the following shayla. There is a din in Hilcha Shechita that in order for the Shechita to be acceptable, you have to shech the rove of the simon. So there are two simonim. There's the kon and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. And in order for the Shechita to be kshera, so if it's a behemah, you have to shech both simonim. If it's an oaf, it's a bird, then you only have to shech one simon. And any simon that you have to shech, either by behemah both or by a bird one, you have to shech the rove of the simon. So in case you're wondering where this all came from, this is all Ish Pesha Mesh Rabbeinu. There's no Tash Ruchsaf in this. This is Zavach, the Chashet Tzvisicha. They have to shech two in Hema, one in Oph, and Ruvah Shal Simin Skimosa. So this is all Halach LaMoshe Mesinai. The only thing is the Gemara has the following suffix. The Gemara wants to know, how do you define Rove? What constitutes a Rove of the Simin? So if you have 59% of the Simin, that's a Rove. If you did 42, that's not a Rove. But exactly 50. You shecht it on the dot. 50% of the simon, what's the din? I remember years ago when I was in Rosh HaKollel as a bachar, so we were learning some sugis of Yerodea that summer, so we wanted to have a siyah shechita. So the fellow came up and brought a lamb up to Marshan. He shechted the lamb for us. And then after he finished shechting, so he started to get a little bit nervous. He's looking very, very carefully. And he asked, does anyone here know Hilchos Shechita? We're all a bunch of teenagers, nobody knew anything. So we said, okay, we found out one of the workers in Marsha. Who was in Marsha? You were in Marsha? You remember Sadia?
Sadia.
Sadia, okay, Sadia, from the old cook from Marsha. So he was an old Sephardi fellow, and he was a shechet on the side. So they brought him over, and I remember he takes a look, he bends down over the limb, and he says, Neveya. Remember the way he said it. Nivela. Why was it Nivela? He said because he didn't shecht rove the simon, that he messed up. He wasn't such a professional guy. He was like a young, fairly new shechet. And he realized he made a mistake, that he just didn't cut enough of the simon. So it was mamash nevela gemur minatara. So what was it? They gave it to the goyim. They gave it whatever. The whole thing. It was a whole flop because we wanted to kasha the meat in the kitchen and go through it. Because malicha, step kasha the meat, you turn from the whole kitchen. So it was a total flop. Anyway, but what would it have been if it would have been shechted exactly on the spot, 50-50? So Rav said, mechza mechzes kerov, that's considered to be like the rov, and Rav Kahana said, mechza mechzes eino kerov, is not acceptable. What exactly is this machlokes depend upon? So Rav of a mechza mechzes kerov, hochi omale rechamana lemoshe, lo tishaya ruba. Rav understood that when the halacha Moshe Mesina was given to shecht rov, it didn't mean to actively shecht rov. What it meant is, don't leave behind rov. It means make sure you shecht enough of the simen that most of the simen is not intact anymore. So when I shecht it 50%, so taka most of the simen is not intact. So that's a good shechita. So according to Rav, the halacha Mesina was said almost backwards. It means it wasn't said to actively shecht. You don't have to literally actively cut rov. As long as you didn't leave behind rov, that's okay. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza eino kerov. Rav Kahana said the opposite. He said, hachi amar mechza lemoishe shchot ruba. You dafka have to shecht rov. It's not enough to just shecht 50%. You have to shecht 50.01% in order for the shechita to be k'sheira. So a very, very dafka stick of machlek is very, very fine line, almost impossible case. But if liyatsu you shecht it on the dot 50%, that would be machlek is Rav and Rav Kahana. So Tosas in Maseches Chulin on the span, the fifth of the Rambam Kamis, I just took a little snip of three lines out of the Tosas. Tosas has a very, very long discussion about this sugya. Tosas says, how in the world is anyone going to ever ask the shayla? Tosas, it's a very practical question. Tosas says, a guy's going to come and say, I shechted exactly 50%. What's the thing? Tosas says, there's a sugya about called Efshalat Tzamtzim or Efshalat Tzamtzim. Efshalat Tzamtzim means you can really get it on the spot, and you can actually measure it. Or Ef Shlatzam means, come on, it's human, it's impossible, humanly impossible to measure something exactly to the, literally to the 50% mark. So Tosas is working with the assumption that it's Ef Shlatzam. So Tosas says, if it's Ef Shlatzam, so there's a moot shayla. What kind of shayla is it? What kind of halacha mashlim? What kind of machlokes is this? This is impossible. So comes Tosas and quotes the name, one about Tosas, Rabbeinu Shimon HaYimifarish. Rabbeinu Shimon used to say, it's another sugi masechus erev that's related, but not for now. Matzu savri kirabanim the ef shlatzamtzim afilu bidei adam. That it's quite possible this entire sugi is actually assuming ef shlatzamtzim, and even if you try to be mitzamtzim and you're trying to measure it, you're trying to do exactly, it's not possible. So what's the machlokes? Upligi kishedome lanu davi mechza mechza. We're not saying with certainty that it's really 50-50. It looks to us like it's 50-50. Wait a second. It looks like it's 50-50. Maybe it's not. How could anybody say it's okay? Maybe you're off. So listen why it's mutter. Uman deshari, mishum de'ema deshachet ruba. So the one who says it's okay, Rav says it's all right, because the shachet's coming with the shayla. I shechted the simon, and lefiro seineinu, it looks like it may be 50-50. We can't say with absolute certainty, but it looks, that's a possibility. So comes Rav and says, you're okay. You know why? Because Ema de shachet ruva. First of all, maybe you shechted rov, because man, it's hard to measure. Vafilu hein shoven. Even if you didn't shecht rov and you got a 50-50, which is the suffix, it's still okay because rachamana amalot eshay ruva. Because the Torah says that if it would be 50-50, it would be all right. So therefore, Rav says, whenever you come in front of us with the suffix 50-50, you have two tzdadim lahokal. Number one, maybe you taka have rov, and even if you don't have rov, maybe you have 50-50. Rabbi said, what do we call that? That's called a sfeik sfeika. Umandi Asar, and the one who says it's a problem, Mishum de Ema Nisha Ruba, Fafilo in Shavarach Manamashchot Ruba. The other one has the fake fake in the other direction, because he says, well, you don't know how much you shechted. So maybe you didn't even, maybe you shechted less than 50-50, and even if you have 50-50, I hold as Asar. So at the end of the day, when you shecht something, there were three logical possibilities. Either you shechted Rov, or you shechted 50-50, or you shechted less than 50-50. I have no idea. So which direction is your sfeik sfeika going in? So it's pivotal, depends upon what do you think about the case of 50-50. If you think 50-50, even though it's highly unlikely that it happened, but if you really believe that imdim talama 50-50 happened, that's okay, then the sfeik sfeika tilts in your direction. If you believe that 50-50 is a problem, then your sfeik sfeika tilts in the other direction. So everything revolves around what you think about 50-50. So even though 50-50 is never going to happen. 50-50 is one in a million chances going to happen, but that is what's going to be kaveya, whether you have a sfeik sfeika l'kula l'chumra.
So also we're assuming that the second suffix is a second halacha, that counts as a suffix, right? Isn't there a whole thing?
Correct, so very good. Oh, phenomenal. It means we're mixing and matching. It's a cholent here. One of the sfeikas is a suffix in mitzias, and the other suffix is a suffix in halacha. Right, right, okay. But the only thing is that it's not really suffix in halacha, because Rav says, I don't have a suffix. You even have a suffix, because you don't know how to pass like Rav or Rav Gana. I don't have a suffix. I have a pure suffix in mitzias. Either I shechted 55 or I shechted 50. I just don't know. And the other one said, well, maybe you shechted 49, maybe you shechted 50. So everyone agrees those are the three possibilities. Everyone agrees 51 is good. Everyone agrees 49 is no good. The Mechalek says it's 50 good or no good, and that's going to be Kaveh the Sfeik Sfeik. So Rabbeinu Shimon just solved the problem, saved the day, had a very unique understanding of the Sugya, but at the end of the day, what's carrying the day is Sfeik Sfeik. So wait a second, Sfeik Sfeik, not so simple. Comes up with Kaveh and says, whatever you have, a Shayel Cheshchita, the Gemara says, you always have a Chazoch against you, because Behema Becheyeha, Becheskas Isra Medes. Before you shecht it, can you eat the animal? No. You're not allowed to take a bite out of a live animal. So the animal has a chazaka mekara against it. It's a cheskes iser. You're trying to change that cheskes iser. So it says to me, wait a second, hold the phone. Who gave you the right to invoke sfeik sfeika to change a cheskes iser? What do you see from here, says Rabbi Kivager? Exactly like the Shit Bukubetza said in Bavakamba Daf Yud Aleph, but that's what this is. That yes, it's true. Unlike what we thought, yes, it's true that a sfeik sfeik is so powerful in halacha, it is so all-encompassing, that it can even override a chazaka meikara. So now we have two sugyas, two very, very different sugyas. One's talking about a cheskes tumba of yeledes. One's talking about a cheskes isra behem b'chev cheskes isra medes. But the common denominator is that they're both invoking the principle of sfeik sfeika overcoming a chazaka. So you need a Rabbi Kivegi for this. And Rabbi Kivegi is learning Bavakamba Daf Yud Aleph, and he remembered Rabbeinu Shimon, and this Rabbeinu Shimon again is a two-liner in the middle of a 100-line Tosfos. But Rabbi Kivager, not a great surprise, Kedaka because he remembered this Rabbeinu Shimon tucked away in the Tosfos. Ooh, this Tosfos, yeah, I ain't sure. That's love of Kama Daf. It's all, they're all saying the same thing. They're all invoking sfeik sfeikas against chazakas. So at least we have two Rishonim on the same side. Hopefully, it's on Friday. We'll try to give possibly the other side of the story to try to show that maybe other Rishonim lurking in the background who may disagree. And if we can dig up somebody who disagrees, if we can create a machlokes, then we can explain the machlokes. So we have to, it's a sfeik sfeika. We're not sure whether we're going to find the machlokes. And if we do, whether we're going to explain. Hopefully, it's on Friday. We'll try to take the sugya to the next one.